I think we are fairly well versed with this idea of Jesus being baptized. But if you listened, and maybe you didn't, Luke's version is slightly different. We're used to Matthew and Mark that talk about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. And you have that dialogue where John says, "No, you should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you." And Jesus says, "Let it be." And so John baptizes Jesus. And then we have the second half of the gospel. The heavens open and God's voice saying, "You are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." Luke is a little different with what he basically leaves out. His first point is that folks were asking, "John, are you the Christ or the Messiah?" And John says, no. And we have the famous, "There's one mightier than I that is coming, and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire." I like that image, fire. Although we don't want to really see fire coming out of the baptismal font. But anyway, fire, yes. We need a little fire in our lives. We really do. So the first thought is, do we sometimes look for somebody else to be the Christ? We put our faith in maybe some movement, or we have some hope in some group or some person, and we realize that we all fail. And maybe our expectations of life and of governments and of movements and of employment is maybe a little misplaced. Our happiness does not come from what job we have, although we should be happy doing what we do. Our happiness does not come from whoever is in government or what's going on in the world. Our happiness has to come from knowing who the Christ is, and that he is at work even now. He has the fire that we need. And what I think we should pray for, I will say in just a little bit, he will raise up men and women of every age to do what needs to be done in him. So have we misplaced our hope sometimes? That we were hoping for something and it didn't happen, and we forgot that only the Lord will provide what we truly need. And we're all working to be a part of that. But let's go to the baptism. The most unique thing about Luke's version is that we don't have John baptizing Jesus at all. That doesn't even get on the printed page. It says, after everybody had been baptized, and Jesus was baptized, I suspect by John, but it doesn't say it. Luke adds this very beautiful point, and Jesus was praying. You don't believe me? Look it up in the Missal letters, right there. Jesus was praying. So I have this image of he comes out of the Jordan. And back then, the Jordan had more water than it does now. If you've been to the Jordan River in the last 20 years, it's kind of puny. Yeah. It had more water. So he comes out of the Jordan River. And my image is that he probably knelt down and looked up to heaven. So maybe we need to think about our own prayer. Are we praying to trust in the Father? And it's then that the heavens open and we hear the voice. Okay. And we hear the voice. "You are my beloved Son." It's the last part of the manifestation of Jesus to the world. Who is this Son of Mary? He is Christ the Lord, Son of God, my beloved Son. One of the images that I like to use when I baptize babies, and I like baptizing babies, I've actually had a pretty good record of babies not crying the bloody, you know what, during a baptism. Maybe it's my, I don't know, calmness, I don't know. Some of them like to play with my vestments or the book, but they're generally happy, and that's good. They may squawk a little bit with the water, but most of them like being bathed, so that's good too. But what I like to talk about to the parents, and I want to remind all of us, is that this child is now also his beloved son or daughter. You and I, whenever it was we were baptized, for some of us a long time ago, we became truly children of God. We belong to him, and we cannot lose that. We can sin, we can turn against God, but he will never turn against us. I've told this story off and on over the many years I've been here, but it still works, that some people really think that they can undo their baptism, that they want to write a letter to the Pope and saying, I no longer want to be Catholic. Well, I'm sorry. Once Catholic, always Catholic. I tell this story many years ago when I was a young pastor in a parish outside of Austin. I got this phone call. If you've heard it before, I apologize. It goes like this. You the priest? I know if I get a phone call like that, it's going to be interesting. Yes? Priest, I want you to erase my name from the baptismal book. I said, why? I'm no longer Catholic. I'm now Jehovah's Witness. I don't want to be in your... Okay, I got you. I said, well, I wish you well. I actually didn't believe that, but I wish you well. But I can't erase... Why not? I said, well, I just can't. So I think pretty well on my feet, and I said, well, I'll tell you what. When you get to heaven, you take it up with Jesus. Because what does having our name in our baptismal book mean? It means that we are in the book of life. And we can lose it, but he will not lose us. That's the beauty. And so maybe you can think, where were you baptized? Your name is written somewhere. And even if floods and fires maybe destroyed the church where you were baptized, it's in God's book. So, and he's not going to erase it. So that's the good thing. So my final thought is we need to believe that we are his children, and we need to pray that we can raise our children and grandchildren to make a difference. Maybe to do better than we did. That God might raise up some of them to be the light to the nations that we need. So let us pray for that in this time, that the next generation will feel that fire of God and light up the world to make us a better place.